Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series about Kiki, the globe-trotting calico kitty exploring the world's diverse people, places, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families love the books and have been asking for help planning their own adventures. So here we are. Adventure awaits. Travel mom Amy joins us on this episode with her family's exciting summer adventures through Maine's Acadia National Park. Hello, Amy, and welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yay! Well, I'm thrilled to have Amy here today. Many of you have probably heard in the last few episodes we've been doing road trips, which is what this summer has been all about, I think, for so many families. I've got Amy here, and she's going to tell us about her adventure. But first, Amy, why don't you tell the listeners a little something about you?
Sure. That sounds great. So I am a mom of three daughters. I live in Arlington, Virginia, and we have two cats that we cherish and a dog. We cherish our dog too, but I thought that mentioning the cats first would be important. And I'm a psychologist. I work full-time and have been transitioning to the work from home. And so our summer vacation was hugely important because of kind of all of the transitions all of us went through this summer.
Obviously, as we all know, been a year like no other, which I think translated into what vacations and holidays looked like this year. Yeah. So yours looked amazing. I can't wait to hear all about it. So why don't you talk to the listeners about what your summer family adventure was?
Sounds great. The reason our adventure happened in some ways was because of all the circumstances surrounding the pandemic. We normally, our family does this big RV camping trip every year where we RV trip up to northwestern Pennsylvania and it becomes more of a family reunion. So we had planned to do that this year. It's a trip we do every single year in August. And then as it got closer, some of my extended family just weren't comfortable about making that trip. So we found ourselves with a week and a half off that we'd sort of bookmarked. We had an RV and we had no plan. I mean, it was actually really fun because we started just thinking, okay, we could blow the top off what we thought we would do and come up with some new adventure. And so I immediately started thinking about, you know, are there some parks that would be doable in like, you know, 9 or 10 days, which kind of took a lot of the West Coast parks out of the equation. So we started kind of exploring, and then I started looking into Maine and Acadia National Park, which is a place my husband and I had always wanted to go. He had spent like one night in Maine. I had never been to Maine. We had heard a lot about it, and I thought we could easily drive this RV up with our kids, spend a week there, and come back, and it wouldn't feel hurried. We could do the park. Well, then what we ran into was that Acadia, the park was open, but the campgrounds were not. And so you could go there and enjoy the park, but you couldn't take your RV and camp in the park. So we ended up kicking a lot of things around and then decided to pass our RV on to the wait list of families who wanted an RV this summer that couldn't get one. And we found a cottage that was basically in the park, on the edge of the park.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so... Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I know this is one of the things I was wondering, because I know you guys have done these summer RV road trips. So who do you always rent from, or have you changed it up?
Yeah, no, we rent from the same company and they're lovely in Pennsylvania, in East Freedom, Pennsylvania, called Freedom Rentals.
Okay.
And we've got an RV from them every year for the last 15 years. And this is a trip my family's done for between 20 and 25 years. But before we had kids, we would tent. We never got an RV. And then we had a baby and we're like, we probably need to be in like a metal box so that, because there's bear and there's like stuff there, you know?
Right.
We sort of, like, wimped out, basically. We wimped out once we became parents and we did the RV. But it's been, so we're pretty experienced RVers.
Yes, totally.
But we don't do a lot. And this is partly why my husband was a little less excited about taking the RV to Maine. We're not experienced with using the RV as a mode of transportation to get around and see things. We go somewhere and kind of set it up as a kind of off the grid home because we don't usually do hookups and stuff. And so we're comfortable with that. But this idea of using that to drive around Acadia up and down these hills, in and out of the park, that to him sounded really stressful. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to travel and researching before I go places. I really like to, I'm old school. I don't as much use websites as I use guidebooks and maps. And I like to bookmark things and have things in my hands when I'm driving places. And I'd started doing a lot of that stuff, and I came across this website because, of course, there was nothing on Airbnb or VRBO in terms of being able to get a cottage in Maine. It seems like everyone went to Maine this year. It was a really popular place, and I think in part it was popular because it's doable as a drive. And then also the numbers in terms of safety were really, it was a really safe place to go. And you had to get, we had to get a COVID test to enter the state. And so that also felt like, okay, we're going to a place where there isn't a lot. So it felt like a good place to go, but it was also very busy. So I came across this website called Acadia Cottages, and they had a handful, like they probably have 90 cottages that they rent every summer, and they had a handful that were left. And I was able to find the most beautiful cottage in Southwest Harbor right on the water with like 2 weeks' notice.
Nice. Meant to be.
Meant to be. Exactly.
You gave the RV to another family.
Totally.
And this cabin was available for you.
Yeah. Freedom Rentals was so lovely and gracious. And they basically were like, of course, we understand plans change. And by the way, we have a wait list like 30 families long for this RV. You just made someone's summer. So it worked out.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So your three girls are what ages?
They're 13, 10, and 8.
And so then you guys set off in car, headed north?
Yes. Yeah. So what we did is we decided, it was a long drive. I mean, we drove it straight through coming back. So the drive back was about, you know, 13 to 14 hours. And so it's a long drive. It's up there in Maine. And so we decided on the way there to break it up because our kids had never taken a road trip that long before. I mean, probably the longest they've ever spent in a car before that had been maybe 9 hours. And so we thought if we could break it up and do like an 8 or 9 hour day and then do a short day the second day, we could do that. And so what ended up being really fun is that we ended up spending a day and a half and a night in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is just a lovely town.
Cute.
Have you ever been there?
Never.
It is so quaint. It's a shore town. It was really a beautiful town and stopover. In fact, we almost wish we'd stayed an extra night. Both the trips were sort of different, I think, than they would have been normally because this particular summer with this pandemic.
But totally. You don't know what's open. You don't know, you know, if places were going to be safe. Yeah. You want to be outside.
That's
all of
exactly
those things,
right? Yeah. And so part of it is my sensibility is to plan stuff out and then to have backup plans if it doesn't work. I'm not someone who can kind of go and use the force, as they say, where you just sort of go and figure it out.
Totally.
I like to have it planned, especially with kids, because it just doesn't work as well with kids.
No,
you kind of need to know where you're going to eat and when you're going to eat. And that
sleep,
kind of stuff.
Those kind of things.
Exactly. Portsmouth was really, really fun. It's an incredibly historic town. So we sort of walked around. There was a lot going on. That was a really fun stopover. After we left Portsmouth, then you're very close in that part of New Hampshire to Maine. I think you're in Maine in like 30 minutes. So then we continue on to Maine the next day, and we stopped at a brewery called Allagash, which was super fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that brewery?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah. And so, again, I wanted to do a tour. We couldn't do a tour, but we were able to taste the beer. My kids had their first lobster roll there, which was super fun. And then we carried on. And then we had to make the necessary main pit stop at the, like, flagship L.L. Bean store.
As you do when you're in Maine. Perfect.
Which was so awesome.
Was it cool?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a fishing pond in the middle of the store. And so the kids were all over it. My dear friend had said, before you go, inventory all of your winter gear, which we did, stock up on your stuff. And so, of course, kids this age outgrow their winter stuff every year. So everybody, we stocked up on a bunch of L.L. Bean gear. And they got their picture in front of the duck boot in front of the store, you know? It was good. They had
fabulous.
Fun.
I love it.
I've never seen them excited to shop in the way that they were because the store is a little bit of a novelty, you know, in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that was fun. And then we headed up to Acadia, which is on an island called Mount Desert or Mount Desert.
Okay.
You can pronounce it either way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
I was really trying to get people to commit and And
nobody would.
People have spent their whole life there. Like, it can be, it seems like the native people have spent their whole life there say Mount Desert. So there's sort of two sides of the island, this sort of east side and west side. And they call the west side the quieter side because Bar Harbor, which is the big town that everybody knows about, that's on the east side. And that draws the tourism onto the island. So we actually chose, and this will tell you a little bit about our family, we chose the west side. We chose the quiet side.
Smart.
And we would have done that even if it wasn't a pandemic. Like, we just really wanted to be, the goal for this trip was to be in nature with the kids and to do and see and move our bodies and challenge ourselves, because the hiking, and I'll tell you more about that, the hiking was by far, for all five of us, the highlight of the trip. Which I never thought I'd hear my 8-year-old say that the hiking was the best part of the trip. And they all agree, without a doubt. It was just unreal. And so we stayed on this sort of quieter side of the island in a town called Southwest Harbor, which is like a lobster fishing town. I mean, it was just, it's really the quintessential Maine town. You look out these beautiful windows in the back of your house and you see sailboats and lobster boats, and you walk down to the end of the street and there's lobstermen pulling their catch of the day.
Oh, yum. That's probably the wrong thing to say, but wow.
Oh, totally. It was. I mean, I've never eaten more lobster in my life.
I was just going to say, did you eat a ton of lobster?
Oh, yeah, constantly. And so the kids learn about that and learn about that industry. And they learned about how much work it is to put these lobsters on the plate. It was one of those things where it was really fun, really active, and also educational, without, like, you know, the kids realizing that they were learning, you know, about the history of this park and how the national park system came to be and how important conservation and preservation is to our national parks. And that was a big piece of why, for Matt and I, a trip to the national park felt good this year.
I love that so many people, and especially kids, got to see the beauty of this country this summer, and will keep doing it, because, like you're saying, what you discovered and what they got to learn was incredible.
It really was. Both of us were shocked that there was this kind of magnificent beauty on the East Coast. And that's not to slam the East Coast, because I've spent my life here, but you think of East Coast beauty as beaches. And then, I mean, I think there's a lot of beautiful forests on the East Coast, but these cliffs and these climbs with these magnificent views, and the cliffs kind of leading right up to the water. It was some of the most beautiful landscape in the United States I'd ever seen. And you also think New England, and you think you know what you're going to see, and you get up there and it's different than New England in that way also.
Cool. So you guys just hiked every day? Is that like...
The main thing we did is we hiked. And so there are, I might get this wrong, but I think I'll probably be close. So on this island, which I think is like 10 by 16 kind of square miles, it's not big. Mm-hmm. There are, and I could be wrong about the size, but I do know that there are like 26 to 28 mountains and like 25 to 28, it's in that range, bodies of water.
Holy moly.
It's crazy. We probably could have done a major hike every day for 3 weeks, not repeated. Like, I grew up in Virginia and I'm from Virginia and I've hiked a lot in the Shenandoah. So I've done a lot of really magnificent hiking. And these hikes, all of them, were challenging. And that's what the kids loved about it. They were really technical. There was a lot of bouldering and rock climbing. There's one that I'll tell you about, which is our all-time favorite hike while we were there, called the Beehive Hike. We did this on the last day. And the Beehive is famous there because there are a handful of hikes that are graded as strenuous. And there are metal ladders and rungs that you need to hang on to do the hike, because you're literally on the edge of cliffs that just drop off.
Oh, my goodness.
And so over the course of the week, we weren't totally sure our kids could handle that. And so we were basically graduating to it. So every day that we were there, we did a hike, at least one. Sometimes we did two, depending upon how long they were. And we did a couple of amazing hikes before we did Beehive. Like, the other one that the kids loved is a hike called Bubble Rock. It is a hike up this mountain, basically. And when you get to the top of it, there is a rock. It's called something funny, a glacial erratic. That's what they call it. It's like this giant boulder that is probably 20 feet in diameter, and it was balanced, perched on the edge of this mountain. It looks like you could lean your hand against it and it would roll off, and it's been there forever, as long as they knew the place. And so it's really cool. Kind of mind-blowing when you get up there. And so we did that hike, and that was vigorous. I mean, you're climbing essentially up cliffs and boulders and rocks for probably 45 minutes till you get to the summit. And then there's like an easier way path down, because you couldn't come down that kind of steep climb. And the kids like rocked it. They loved it. And they're like,
so
great. You know, in their mind, a hike was like following a path through the woods.
Right, exactly. You're in Great Falls.
Yes,
and you're...
exactly.
Totally.
And so it's beautiful, but I think not that exciting for like a 10-year-old, you know?
Right.
This was really strenuous and challenging. And then you get up there and you can see the entire island as far as you can see. And so the reward when you get up there. So each day the kids just sort of got braver and braver. And then by maybe the fifth day in the trip, they said, and we've been talking about Beehive, and I'd read, and they said, you know, my older ones could definitely do it, but it was my 8-year-old. I was a little worried about her being able to kind of be careful and sustain her attention and have the caution she needed. But by the end of the week, they're like, Mom, we're doing it. So
good for the girls. Yeah. Nice.
So the last day we did this really challenging hike. And I mean, I was in front, the three girls were behind me, and then my husband was kind of bringing up the rear. And there was a couple points where I was turning around to make sure they were okay. And they're on rocks, holding onto rocks. And the width of the trail, which is on the side of this mountain, is maybe 24 inches.
Oh my goodness. With like a sweat.
Yeah. And I would look back and kind of see this cliff behind her and thought, maybe this was the wrong decision.
Is it too late to turn back?
It's too late. We're in it. No. But what was so cool is they were so proud of themselves. It was such an accomplishment when they got to the top. And because, you know, there were other kids there, but there weren't a lot of little kids. And a lot of they got so much encouragement along the way from people who were hiking and when we got to the top. So it was cool. It was cool to see them take pride in something like that. And to me, it feels like they're like life hikers now. Like, you don't do a trip like this and kind of conquer these challenging hikes without falling in love. I mean, I say they're like lifelong hikers. My husband has said we've ruined them because there are so few hikes that will ever kind of rival the ones that they did. But yeah, so hiking was a big part of it. And then the other piece of it was biking. And so one of the things that's really distinctive about Acadia National Park are the carriage roads. So the carriage roads were essentially miles and miles and miles of roads all throughout Acadia National Park that are accessible only by foot and bike. And they were created at the beginning of the 1900s, I believe, maybe the end of the 1800s, for horse carriages. So they're like tight gravel kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's a way to see parts of the park that you would need to do a really long hike to be able to see. So we rented bikes while we were there, and we spent 2 days exploring the park by bike, which was really fun and also allowed us to the beauty of being in the woods by itself, the ferns and the moss. I mean, the only way I could kind of describe it is it was like going into almost like a fairy tale when you're in the woods. And it was also in mid-August, it's blooming season for lily pads. So you'd see these ponds covered with blooming lilies.
Oh my
goodness.
It was
magnificent. The like natural beauty was magnificent. And that was really fun because the kids, you know, you're biking for hours and you're more or less, I mean, you pass people here and there, but you're more or less alone as a family, just breathing in the natural beauty. It was something else.
Oh, how amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to go.
I have a funny story about the carriage ride, bike ride. So I'm trying to capture the beauty. And you saw that I posted a lot of pictures. So
yes, it was so gorgeous.
It was. And the thing is I didn't bring a fancy camera because I knew we were going to be hiking and biking and I wasn't going to want that kind of equipment. So everything was on my cell phone. And I just felt compelled to take pictures of everything because you just want to bring it back with you. There's a carriage road called Witch Cove Pond. And it's about maybe like a 4-mile loop around this beautiful pond that was covered with lily pads. this was one of those days where, like, wanting to take advantage of every second of our vacation kind of probably pushed me to do something that was ultimately not the best plan. It was pouring. And that was like our first bike day. And we were all excited to do this biking. So we get up in the morning. I was like, what do you guys think? We just got all this rain gear from LL Bean. We can do it. And they were like, all right. So we get on our bikes. I'm not kidding. In the pouring rain, we go to do this loop. It was funny because it was stunning in a different way. They call Maine in August, foggest, because it's so foggy. And the fog was just laying on all of these ponds and on all these forests. It was just a different kind of beauty. And my family is like go-getters on the bikes. Mm-hmm. They weren't stopping enough to let me take pictures and just like breathe it all in. My middle daughter and I were kind of bringing up the rear. I took out my phone to do some videoing. And I was trying to capture like 5 minutes of just what was before me on this video because, you know, my family kind of wouldn't let me stop. I am videoing holding this phone in my right hand and my daughter kind of just sort of gently swerves in front of me and I slam on the brakes with my left hand and go flying off my bike. Literally, the back of my bike comes up. It throws me into the side, into the pine needles. And the whole thing's on video, which is really funny. But I mean, I got beat up pretty good with that one.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a pretty gnarly bike accident. Not like a disabling injury, but like pretty bruised up. But learned my lesson. And all the kids were like, why? Why would you video while you're biking in the rain? Yeah. So I learned my lesson. I will never do that again. I have a really beautiful video of everything to see that ends with that phone flying through the air. And then like a still shot of the sky as it's like laying in the grass.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is too much.
It was. Yeah.
Well, it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like all the hiking and the biking. And then did you guys just cook in a lot? Did the place you stayed have a kitchen?
We did. We cooked in a lot. Although there's places that you go and you pick your lobster that they just pulled in out of the ocean from a tank and you eat lobster rolls. And they're called lobster pounds. And Beale's lobster pound is like one of the most famous on the island. And it was like 2 blocks from our house. We did a lot of that. A
lot of lobster.
Yes, it was, I have had lobster in just about every way you can have it. And yeah, and each way is better than the next. My kids all tried it. They liked it. They didn't love the connection to living thing. Yeah, we did a lot of eating in and we did one dinner in Bar Harbor and we kind of walked around Bar Harbor. And Bar Harbor is an amazing, quaint town. Lots of amazing shops, amazing restaurants. It was a fun place to go and the kids went souvenir shopping and things like that. But still, even during this quarantine time, it was packed. Which was unfortunate because I think we would have spent more time there. There was a really cool hike we did. There's an island off the coast of Bar Harbor called Bar Island, and at low tide, you can walk to it. Mm. And it's amazing. So the tides there from high to low tide are like 8 to 12 feet. So when you go to the shore at low tide, there are tide pools that have starfish, sea cucumber, lobster, crab in the tide pools because of how quickly the tides go out and what gets left there. And so you can walk to Bar Island at low tide and it's actually one of the big kind of fun hikes to do. And then at high tide, boats are crossing. It's wild.
That's so cool.
That was really fun too. That was like a fun in-town hike that we did. And then the last thing I would say that the kids absolutely loved because vacation for them is swimming. You're not going to do much swimming. I mean, the water temperature was like in the upper 50s.
Ooh,
it was cold, but
chilly.
There are a couple lakes that are a little bit warmer and we went to Echo Lake and the kids swam there. It was beautiful, freshwater lake. And so we did a little bit of swimming also just to scratch the itch because that's what their summer vacation is normally like a beach or a lake
right, or
where they're swimming a lot.
So they got that in too.
They got that in too. Yeah.
Well, it sounds just lovely.
It was great. It was really, really great. I mean, it's definitely a place we will go back. We could have had another week of activities, of seeing things and not repeated anything. I mean,
that's amazing.
It was good. Really, really,
really good. Really great.
Yeah.
So you love to travel with the kids.
Yeah.
and you've got adventures every summer. Why do you think it's so important to travel with them?
We live in Washington, D.C., or just outside of Washington, D.C., and so for us, it's important that they see the world and meet other people that are having different experiences and that life looks and feels different. And I think that would be important no matter where we live, but I think to get out of this bubble in D.C., it's really important for their growth and learning, for all of our mental health as a family. You know, I'm a psychologist, so that's part of how I look at these things is how this kind of balances out the stress and demands of what our life looks like, what our kids' lives look like. So that's important. Being in natural beauty is something that has always been incredibly important for my husband and I. And so being able to share that with them, and especially now that they're getting older and they can do it. I mean, that was one of the things that was so cool about this vacation. You know, on our drive back, my husband and I were talking about, this is one of the first vacations that we've taken as a family where we had as much fun with our children as we would have had it been just he and I doing these things.
That's amazing.
Which is so amazing. And we've been waiting for that for so long, frankly.
Yay!
You know? And so to be able to see the world and travel with them and enjoy it side by side is really, it's just something special. It is important that our children get a chance to experience life outside of the United States. But I think while they're little, and also certainly right now, given the limitations with travel, there are so many beautiful parks and places in the United States. That last year, we had a trip to Wyoming, and we were in the Grand Tetons and Yellowstone. And so I think we're going to do a national park every summer.
Cool. And so that's your next trip.
So next year, I'm thinking I might listen to the other podcast and learn some about Zion and Grand Canyon, and maybe that'll be our trip next summer.
Yeah. Hot springs in Colorado. Yeah. Lots of fun stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me and for all of the great details. You just painted such a beautiful picture.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It gave me a chance to relive this trip. So thank you.
It's always the nice thing to do, right? Yeah. Like to look back on it too. And then just to, you know, those memories and experiences that you're giving the girls are just, it's just incredible.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate to be able to do that with them. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being on. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have to have you after your next road trip adventure.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for joining us, Amy, and sharing your summer national park adventures. There's an overview of the episode in the show notes. Head over to the podcast section of the Kiki's Big Adventures website for more specific details, places, and lots more travel planning tips. Thank you for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. Look forward to traveling together on the next episode. Adventure awaits!